Okay, we just have a short period of time, so since we have so many people with problems, we'll do a good healthy healing session this time and hopefully assist them. So I'm going to say a few words about healing and health. And the funny thing about spiritual healing is sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And what makes the difference? Why is it that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't? Yeah, attitude.
I disagree. It can't always be about that. The thing of it is, it's so easy to blame the victim, and I do too.
No, I'm not blaming the victim.
As in, I'm not.
I know we all come in with stuff, and there's certain things that need to be cleared before sometimes. You walk yourself, you don't even know you're doing it. And it has nothing to do with the way you're thinking at the time. It has to do with something that happened to you previously.
So we can say sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay, Michael, have something to say here?
I'd just say part of it could be point on the path, and part of it could be karmic liability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The lesson that needs to be learned.
Yeah.
Because you're there. Not lessons to learn to get out of it.
Does that go along with disabilities too?
Yeah, everything that happens to us, there's always a reason behind it, for one thing. Like when I was 13, the course of my life was changed when I had a rocket blow up in my hand and put me in the hospital for a month. I wound up having 6 operations. And so the fact that I had this handicap, the biggest problem with it wasn't the physical, because I've done about every physical job, including construction, hod carrier, some very difficult jobs, hauling hay. And so the physical handicap was virtually nil. The only thing that I haven't been able to do is climb a rope. You know, I can't climb a rope with one good hand. But that's about the only thing I'm really handicapped at. But what was funny about it was that when I used to work in construction, I worked through the union. And you work a lot of different jobs through the union. So the trouble was, I found that if they saw right away I had a bad hand, they'd let me go the next day because I made them nervous. So what I had to do was hide the fact that I had, and I wore big gloves so my hand looked kind of normal. And if I worked for a week where they didn't see that I had a bad hand, then they thought, oh, he can do the job pretty good, guess we'll keep him. So then I was okay. But if they saw right off that I had a handicap, then they'd fire me. Now, in today's world, I could probably sue them, you know. I'm not the sue happy guy, so I probably wouldn't anyway. But, you know, in today's world, they see I got a bad hand, they'd probably be afraid to fire me, you know. And I didn't blame them. You know, that's one thing that kind of irritates me about other people I've met with a handicap. Some of them have a big chip on their shoulder and ready to sue anybody that gives them a bad time. And I've never had that attitude at all. Where it deflated me the most was with girls. Now, my guy friends, there's no difference in their consciousness toward me. But the girls, there's tremendous difference in them. And that was my biggest struggle. On the other hand, I thought to myself, "Boy, you know, I'm really having a hard time getting in with the girls. Like they want to avoid me, like the plague during high school." So, I started reading books on how to win friends and influence people, how to sell yourself to others by Elmer Wheeler, which is an even better book, I think, than Dale Carnegie. And I read every one of those books I could find. Then I read an interesting piece of advice in those books that says, just don't read one book. Read everything you can find and incorporate it in your life, and eventually you'll make changes. And it took a while, but I found that eventually I could get about anything I wanted socially. But when I did, I found that the really good friends I had from the beginning, like my good friend Wayne and Curtis and people like that, are the ones I like the best anyway. So if I could make friends with the jocks and all that, that didn't really mean anything, or friends with the best-looking girls. The people with the good hearts that will befriend you no matter what your circumstances, they're the salt of the earth. And so when I developed myself to a certain extent, and what really helped me a lot was I developed the sensitivity. What really helped me with girls is kind of an interesting thing. I developed the sensitivity to eventually perceive, know what they were thinking or feeling. And so every time I got to the point to where if I asked a girl out, I knew exactly what she'd say. So I only asked girls out that would say yes. there were some that I knew I could ask out, and they would be on the fence, and I would have to talk them into it maybe. But I got to the point where I didn't have much rejection, because the ones that I knew would reject me, I didn't ask out. Like when I was in high school, I didn't have a clue, you know, because I didn't have that sensitivity. So I asked a bunch out that did reject me, you know. Then, like I say, when I developed a greater sensitivity, that really helped me out a lot socially, because I knew a lot about, I had a feeling about how people would respond to any social approach before it happened, and that was one of the advances that was really helpful that I didn't read in any book. But anyway, Artie was pointing out this morning about something she'd read about or heard about people that went through a lot of pain and everything, and there were some of them pointed out that I think it was the guy that had the face transplant. Didn't he say that he learned so much from all the pain of having no face and all the rejection that he wouldn't trade that experience for the world? And I thought, boy, that would be pretty odd. Didn't he even say he'd be willing to go through it again? Did he say that?
Yeah, he actually tried to commit suicide at one point. He was on depression medication. He had 10 years, he said, of hell. But during the 10, he made some of the greatest friends and found some of the best people he'd ever met in his life during that time. So having passed through hell and gotten on the other side of that, he said, looking back, he'd still do it again. And that I hear people who've had cancer and got through that. A lot of people who say, you know what, even though it was horrible, and I, you know, after I got through it, he said, you know, looking back, I would have gone through it again, because of all I learned about myself and about the world and how it changed me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go through blowing my hand off again, but the experience, once a bad experience is over, what I've learned from it, one thing it's done too, besides taught me better social skills than I would have had normally. I probably don't exude those social skills that much, because I reach a point where, you know, I don't care anymore. If somebody doesn't like me, it doesn't bother me at all. Back in high school, it really bothered me that a number of people didn't like me. And high school kids are that way. But now I don't care, so, you know, since I don't care, I don't really apply all of the how to win friends and influence people, because I don't care if somebody's my friend or not. If they come into my life and they're good people, then I start to care. But I don't care if I make new friends. I don't care if somebody likes me. And it's a great freedom just to not care. You can put your attention on the important things when you don't care about what people think about you. But yeah, when I was younger, I cared a lot. But another thing it really taught me was humility. Now I may not come across really humble, but I'd be a lot worse if I hadn't had this handicap to go through. And like I say, it was a social handicap a lot more than the physical. It really bothered me that way, especially when I was young. I think if somebody has an accident like that when they're 30 or 40, it doesn't affect them nearly as much. But when you have it when you're 13, just getting interested in girls, then that's a a very painful social time to go through something like that. But everybody that looked at me thought that the big problem was physical, and physical was no problem at all. You know, I played ball and everything just as good as I ever was, which wasn't that great. But the thing is, everything that happens to us to teach us something. And this is the same thing with disease. Pain is caused by some type of resistance to soul energy. So the soul comes to us and it brings us pain to teach us, to bring us to a lesson, to teach us something, and we got to figure out what that lesson is. What is that lesson that the soul is leading us to? And if we don't learn the lesson, if we don't apply it, then it puts on the squeeze tighter. And so we eventually reach a point where we say, why God? Why is this happening to me? And so we then go on a quest to find the answer. What is causing the pain? What is causing the distress? What is causing the cancer? What is causing the rheumatism? What is causing the heart disease?